This is 4-3-24 Wednesday evening. We're going to look at the Office of the Prophet, Part 6. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." In other words, God was going to disclose to the prophets what he's going to do. I like to say it this way. Prophets have God's blueprints. Now, before you can proceed forward with a plan, you must have the blueprints. What is a blueprint? A detailed plan or program of action. I've just been reading about Jericho. And I read the Bible through every year. And they're getting ready to go in. In fact, tomorrow's chapter 6. They're going to go into Jericho. And the captain of the host met him and he said, Who are you for? You know, he said, "Well, I'm not really for anybody, but, you know, I'm kind of neutral here, but I do have some plans," basically. He told him, he said, "You know, where you're standing is holy ground." So God imparted the plan to go in and take Jericho through Joshua. All right. The prophets are the ones to receive these plans and then pass them on to whoever will listen. Rather, it will be to the apostle to build up a work, a spiritual house, or to an individual. Yeah. Okay, we're going to look at a scripture in Acts chapter 13 that kind of shows that. If you read the book of Acts and view it this way, you'll see how the Holy Ghost led them to these different places. And sometimes he said, "No, don't go there." Verse 1 said, "Now there were in the church there that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with the Herod, or with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them.' When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." So this started their journey. They started going in and making, you know, taking the gospel, an apostles and an ambassador of the gospel, and so they went in to start taking the good news to the Gentiles after what happened with Peter, and it went on from there. Okay, we've been looking for weeks into not operating in the flesh. This is the only way that a ministry can succeed. Jesus talked about a bunch of people that said even though they prophesied in his name, he didn't know them. This is Matthew chapter 7. And you can, it's like, you know, he says, "Lord, Lord," you know, like you're familiar. You can be familiar with the Lord, but not be following him, not be listening to what he's saying. You're just doing your own thing like most Christians. Just going to church, going to bed, getting up, doing your thing. All right, this is verse 15 is where it's going to start. He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils?'" Sounds like to me right here. That sounds like cast out devils, apostles, cast out, you know, prophesied in thy name, prophets. and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah. So we've got to follow what the Spirit is saying to do. All right. The Strong's right here. The prophet means, or what a prophet does, they prophesy, speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction or simple disclosure, or speak by inspiration. The inspiration of the prophets comes from the Holy Spirit, not just they just decide, I'm just going to prophesy today. Doesn't happen that way. The wind of the Holy Spirit catches the sails. We've already talked about that. Jesus said not everyone that prophesied are inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they prophesy out of their souls. That's what he was saying in Matthew 7. They just went with what they thought. And a lot of people think that way because they have not learned to follow the Spirit. They haven't learned about the inner life. They think it's all natural because the church as a whole, from what I've seen, they pretty well fix everything in their life based on natural, outward, physical things, and they say they're Christians. Some of them say, well, I'm walking by faith, but they're not. They're so got such a mixture in their life. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. It looks pretty black and white to me from what Jesus said. You're either doing the Word or you're not doing the Word, right? Now we know there's a lot of people that are in between, and they have to be their babies. That's what Paul said, desire the sincere milk of the Word so you can grow thereby. You can understand that from a baby. So I don't think anybody that doesn't know how to walk in the Spirit, you could call a mature Christian. I don't think so. I think they're still babies. In fact, before we ever started doing the house churches and everything, we came across a pastor's wife one day at Walmart, and I had Temple with me in a stroller. I was keeping her. And she said, that's what the church is, isn't it? Kind of like just basically, they're babies. It's like nursery school, she said. I said, yeah, you're kind of right there. You think people will really have it together, and then they do something, you think they don't really have it together at all. They might have it together naturally, but spiritually is another thing. I don't think people understand that. That's one thing that my desire is to see people grow up in the Lord, mature in the Lord. That's what that apostolic Christianity is. Learning the Word of God and living by the Word of God. That's how you grow up spiritually. All right. All right, are people the ones that judge prophets? No, we looked at that last week. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, if a prophet gives you a word, I guess that's up to you to judge whether you think they're hearing from God or not. But in the assembly, starting verse 29. No, I'm wrong there. Just a minute. I'm not even there. Sorry. 14:29. In the assembly, it said, let the prophets speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. One thing about all of this, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. All the gifts that God gives, our motivation is always to be love. Not my gift is bigger than yours and better than yours, and so I need to go. No, we need to wait and tarry for one another and walk in love towards one another, and especially in the assembly. Okay, now, much like the apostle, the prophet, because of their anointing, will come under persecution. It just kind of goes with the territory. Here's what it means to be persecuted: to literally or figuratively pursue. The enemy's not going to go after somebody usually that's not a threat. All right, this is Matthew 5, 12. Jesus makes this statement: rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I don't know if it's Peter who said, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. In other words, if you're going to follow the Spirit, you're going to run into that. Okay? Personally, this is about myself. Personally, as a prophet, I don't give a lot of personal words, even if God has given them to me. On a few occasions, I have. The Lord will say to go tell so-and-so, thus saith the Lord. A lot of time, God just reveals information to me concerning a situation. That does not mean it is to be spoken. So many take what the prophet says personally. It is wise to sit on it until it comes up by the Holy Spirit before you give it. I mean specifically personal prophecy, more so than probably in the assembly, which both need to be weighed. Several months back, we came across a situation, someone we know, and we've known for a few years and done business with, and this person had, we didn't know anything about it, but had taken the COVID. Well, he didn't mention the shot, but we knew when he started speaking what was going on. Anyway, he developed a massive tumor in his stomach. And so he talked about all the gory details of what they had to do to, you know, it was, you know. Anyway, later, a few days later, I'm praying, and I think it was on a Sunday morning, and the Lord says to me, you go tell so-and-so that I said don't take any more of the, you know what's, the things. Well, what he had was benign, you know, thank the Lord. And so what I did is I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I dropped by the place of business where I was at and delivered the message to him. And later he sent me a thank you for giving him that information. Well, we knew of someone else, a friend we had, that they had faced a similar thing, close to the same area, and it was also benign. And the morning that the Lord gave me that, he said, so-and-so, that's what happened to him too. He didn't say, go tell so-and-so, that so-and-so, just tell that so-and-so. So he didn't say, go tell him. So I didn't tell him. These are God's messages. These are his words to his people. And to me, a prophet is a messenger to bring the words that God has for a person or an assembly. All right? Have I ever missed it? I'm sure I probably have. I try my best to be real careful with those. Like I said, I had one word I sat on for over 10 years before it ever got into the hands of the person. You know? And sometimes it's not, I'll tell this. I remember someone I knew when I was working at Birthright. You know, we did pregnancy tests, and I remember doing the pregnancy test, and I saw it was positive, and I just had this bad feeling come over me. I just knew this pregnancy would not thrive, and sure enough, she lost it. The next time she came back, it was, I don't know, a year or so, she's pregnant again, had that same awful feeling. Well, this time they had a little boy, and 2 years, I guess, he had some heart problems and things, and they did surgery, and he passed. You know, but see these things. But how would you tell somebody that? You know, you pray. You pray for the person that, you know, help them to go through the hard time. I know that they went through a very hard time. In fact, they ended up leaving the area, you know. I just think, well, you know, I don't know why the Lord showed me that, you know, but he did. And that's part of that prophetic. You know, you can ask Danny. When I was 18 years old, we hadn't been married very long. I remember having a dream, and then I remember just having some things, and he recognized what it was because I wasn't in a Spirit-filled church. I didn't know anything much about that kind of stuff. But because he had been Assembly of God and he had seen some things, he recognized it more than I did, that, you know, something was there. So, all right, some prophets see things, others hear things. Sometimes I do see things, but mainly I hear things, all right, and write them down. All right, tonight I want to look into the revelation gifts, which the prophets operate by. I'm going to read from Kenneth Hagin's handbook. Anyway, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 14:3 right quick before I start reading about these particular gifts that operates in the office of a prophet, which really I think the prophet could really manifest all of those gifts, but these specifically. This is 1 Corinthians 14:3. All right, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So the simple gift of prophecy is for these three things. And you can prophesy and not be a prophet, okay? All right. Like I said, I think a prophet could do speaking in tongues with interpretation or prophecy. Even some of the miraculous gifts, the working of miracles, gifts of healings, gift of faith. The revelation gifts are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, okay? Which discerning of spirits goes right along with especially the prophetic office, because it's seen into the spirit world. You see into the spirit world because a seer. Okay. All right. Let me get this. Have to be careful with it. It's falling apart. I ordered a new one today. This is probably the best I've ever heard of anyone's breakdown of these things. All right, this is the gift of the word of knowledge. It's not the gift of knowledge. It's the word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge, not the gift of knowledge. All right, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 I'm reading, word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So this is as the Spirit wills. We cannot operate these gifts ourselves. They have to be by the Spirit. This is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. All right. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write to the church at Corinth, said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So if you're informed about these gifts, then you'll be able to operate in them properly when the Holy Spirit calls on you. It's as He wills. It's never as a person wills. It's as He wills. If the Spirit of God, through Paul, said that He didn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, then I certainly do not believe that He wants the church today to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Yet a gross ignorance does exist concerning these things. In some places, people know nothing at all about them. You know, I hear them misused all the time, especially discerning spirits. Oh, I have the gift of discernment. There is no gift of discernment. There is the gift of discerning of spirits, and it's a totally different thing than your gossip. You know what I'm saying? I'm discerning this about you, and I'm... That one gets real confused. It's probably the most confused one of all. Not even that such gift exists. They think these gifts have been done away with. In other places, they know something about some of them, but their knowledge is very limited. All right. Let me just get to it. All right. I'm not going to read all he has to say because he has so much to say right here. All right. We'll start right here. Notice that this gift is called the word of knowledge. It is not the gift of knowledge. There is no such thing as a spiritual gift of knowledge. There is a word, a spiritual gift called a word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is the supernatural revelation by the Holy Ghost of certain facts in the mind of God. God is all knowledge. He knows everything, but He doesn't reveal to man everything. He just gives him a word or part of what he knows. See, those words that I had were a word of knowledge. These were things that had already happened. Present tense. A word is a fragmentary part of a sentence. So a word of knowledge would simply be a fragmentary part of knowledge. God is all-knowing. He has all knowledge. He doesn't impart knowledge to you. He imparts a word of knowledge to you, just what He wants you to know. The word of knowledge is a supernatural manifestation, as in all of these gifts. None of them are natural gifts. They are all supernatural gifts. If one of them is supernatural, then all of them are supernatural. If one of them is natural, then all of them are natural. There are those who say that this scripture refers to natural knowledge. It does not. It is not natural knowledge. This is something you don't know. And you know when you get it, you know you don't know it. These are facts in the mind of God. Things God knows that He is sharing with you. If that were true, then the gifts of healing would not be supernatural healing, but simply would be what people have learned, what we have achieved through medical science. Right there. It's not the same. A lot of people want to incorporate that healing, that's spiritual and that's God. They use the beast system and say it's God, but it ain't. It never will be. Not in a million years. Not in a quadrillion years. We certainly believe in medical science. No, we don't. Not really. And thank God for all that they do. But I believe the scripture is talking about supernatural healing. It is. If these gifts were only natural gifts, diverse kinds of tongues that simply refer to those who know and speak different languages, who have learned them naturally. If you ever notice when they're trying to do a spiritual show, why don't they just get some tongue-talking people in there and let them speak in tongues instead of making them sound like one's over here speaking German and one over here speaking Chinese and all that. It just makes them look ignorant. It really does about spiritual things. All right. Let me just pass on. Like I said, he's got a lot of information here. I'm just trying to get you the basic. A supernatural revelation of the word of knowledge. Confusing this gift with natural knowledge, someone said, we don't need some of these lesser gifts. If we have the gift of knowledge, it's not the gift of knowledge. And the knowledge that they were bragging about was intellectual knowledge, not anything the same. We know most of our institutions have been taken over by the beast system. It's something they had gained themselves apart from the Holy Ghost and from the Word of God. That is not what this is talking about. This is a supernatural gift. Okay. Now, he gives some instances here. Right here. This is in Acts. It says, another example of this gift in operation is found in the 9th chapter of Acts. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Here the word of knowledge came to a layman through a vision. Ananias wasn't an apostle, as was John. He wasn't a pastor or evangelist. He wasn't even listed as being a teacher. The Bible calls him a disciple. He was just a member of the church at Damascus. If the Lord wills, laymen as well as ministers can have a manifestation of the word of knowledge. It does not make them a prophet, because they do. They can just be, you know. All right. In a vision, the Lord told Ananias, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and has seen in a vision. Saul also had a like vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias couldn't have known in the natural that in a certain house on a certain street, a man named Saul was praying at that minute. He couldn't have known that Saul had had a vision in which he had seen a man called Ananias coming and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. He couldn't have known that other than by the Spirit of God. Ananias couldn't have known this any other way than by supernatural revelation. So the word of knowledge is facts in the mind of God about present or past. Something that happened back then. What I had that day was something that had already happened, had already transpired. On both counts. All right? Y'all ready to move on? Like I said, this is an excellent study on this, learning about the gifts. All right? The gift of the word of knowledge. He's starting a part two here, but I think we'll go on. I didn't have time to read this today to just pick out certain places, but like I said, it's well worth reading. You know what? All right. The next one I want to look at is called A Word of Wisdom. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? All right. Right, God has all knowledge. He knows everything, but he never reveals to anybody everything that he knows. He just gives them a word of what he knows. Just a fragmentary word. A word is just a fragmentary part of knowledge, and so it is with wisdom. It is not the gift of wisdom. Oh, that person really has wisdom. Well, that's not the gift of wisdom. It is the word of wisdom. God has all wisdom and all knowledge. He only reveals a part of it to man, that which he wants him to know. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, and things. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose in the mind of God and will of God. It's a revelation concerning the plan and purpose. Oh, wait a minute. Plan and purpose. In the mind of God, the difference between the two gifts, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, is that the revelation that the word of knowledge brings is always present tense or something that has happened in the past, whereas the word of wisdom always speaks of the future. Okay, y'all got that? Knowledge is now or the past. Present tense or past. All right. Wisdom is future. All right. Let me see if he's got any scriptures here where we can give you an example. All right. Part of what Ananias had to, the Lord had to say to Ananias is this: he is a chosen vessel unto me. God planned to use Paul in the future to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. That is a revelation. It reveals God's purpose. It was a word of wisdom about his future ministry. You know, Ananias didn't want to go because Paul was killing Christians, hauling them off to jail, throwing them in prison. Okay. All right, let's go on. Discerning of spirits. He says here, very often these gifts work together as tongues and interpretation work together. Like, you know, Danny's given to prophecy. So in that prophecy, there could be a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge in that prophecy. All right, all these gifts reveal something. These three gifts reveal something. Something in the past, something at the present, something in the future. All right. Okay, the discerning of spirits gives insight into the spirit world. Like someone sees an angel, there you have it. That's what that is. That's what's in operation. The discerning of spirits gives insight into the spirit world. Let me say right here that it is not discerning of devils. Now that, a lot of people think that that's what it means. You see demons. No, not necessarily. You just see in the realm of spirits. You might see demons or you might see angels. You might see a vision of the Lord. I know there's different types of visions too. Like the day I saw Donald Trump, I didn't see him out here. I saw him in here. I had my eyes open, but I saw Donald Trump in my spirit. That, you know, what do you call that? There's an open vision or there's a spiritual vision. It was a spiritual vision. A lot of people, they, you know, Brother Hagin had those types of visions where he had his eyes wide open. He's seeing something play out before him. Brother Hagin was a prophet. He was. All right. It's not discerning of evil spirits. To say that the discerning of spirits has to do only with devils is misleading. It has to do with spirits, both good and bad. It is supernatural insight into the realm of spirits. Like dreams could be considered, if it's a dream from God, this gift in operation. The discerning of evil spirits is included here, but too many times folk have thought that is all this is talking about and have been misled. All right. I'm trying to look here and see what else he's saying about this. He is just qualifying that all such visions, like if you saw the Lord, let me just read it. Through the discerning of spirits, seen in the spirit realm, you could discern the risen Christ. No one has actually seen him physically after his ascension and seating on high, because he is seated on the right hand of the Father, where he forever liveth to make intercession for us. But through this supernatural gift of the discerning of spirits, people have been able to see into the spirit realm and sometimes have seen him. All such visions would be a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits. It might bring with it a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, but the vision itself would be a discerning of spirits, because that person would at that time be seen into the spirit realm. To discern means to see. Discerning or seeing into the realm of spirits. In the spirit world, there are divine spirits and there are evil spirits. We also have the human spirit to deal with. All right. And so discerning of spirits may be discerning the similitude of God, the discerning of the risen Christ, or the discerning of the Holy Spirit. John, in his vision on the Isle of Patmos, when God showed him a vision, saw the Holy Spirit as seven spirits before the throne of God. Yeah, his whole thing, but I don't know, maybe it was an open vision. It also means the discerning of cherubim, seraphims, archangels, or the host of angels, or the discerning of Satan and his legions, also the discerning of the human spirit, the good or evil tendencies in the spirit, or the power that is evil or good that may be behind any manifestation. A lot of manifestations into the realm in which we live come from different sources, and a lot of things that seem miraculous to us actually do not come from God. Satan is a supernatural being also. Too many times folks are ready to follow anything, whether it be proven by the scriptures or not. The Spirit of God may impart a word of knowledge to us in this area. He's done so with me. One time a man was invited to the platform at a church where I was conducting a meeting. I had heard that this man was not living right, and of course the Bible tells us that by their fruits we shall know them. As I sat on the platform while this man got up to say a few words to the congregation, I heard a voice say, "He has a familiar spirit." In other words, he's not speaking by the Spirit of God. He's speaking by a familiar spirit. I looked behind me. I already knew that no one was sitting behind me. Have you ever heard the loud voice of the Holy Spirit? I've had it a few times. I mean, it makes you jump like, yeah. One time, I remember, I'd gone to a reunion there when Daddy and Judy were at Rockwall or wherever it was they were. And I had that old station wagon. And coming home, I mean, I had to stop to get gas in Brady, and it wouldn't start again. The man could get it started, but he couldn't get it to, you know. He said, "You can't stop it. You can't use the air conditioner." It was hot, middle of summer. Anyway, when I got home, I told Danny, I said, "I don't care if I ever pay my tithe again. I'm going to be in this situation." And I haven't been since. That car was 10 years old. All the contact paper was peeling off the side. It was a sight to behold. Had to have a jump every time he killed the engine. Well, we ended up getting a Suburban, and I don't know if I was working at the church yet, but anyway, I remember I was going home from church and I was fussing because we didn't have any money to go out to eat like everybody else. The Holy Spirit said, and I mean it was loud, he said, "Well, if you'd pay your tithe, you'd be able to do both." And I said, "I wasn't even talking about that." Ever argue with the Holy Spirit? I thought I was going to jump out of my skin. It was so loud. I've had a few occasions like that, just loud. You will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Well, nonetheless, after that, I paid my tithe. All right. I looked behind me. I already knew that no one was sitting behind me, yet the voice was so real. I looked behind me. It was the Holy Ghost, the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. If you hear him say a voice behind you, you better look and see if there's a bridge out ahead. I'm telling you, you must be going in the wrong direction because he's supposed to be leading us, not us. Him have to be us hearing a voice behind us. If we're hearing behind, I think we've made a wrong turn. I was going in the wrong direction. I'd always paid my tithe. Even as a good Baptist girl, I had always paid my tithe. All right. Many folks thought this preacher had a word of knowledge in operation because he could tell people something about themselves. He could give them their name and address. He could tell them how much money they had in their purses. He could sometimes tell them what they had in their pockets. But the Spirit of God said to me, "He has a familiar spirit." What are familiar spirits? They're spirits that have been around, I like to say, maybe generations of families, and they're familiar with their quirks and their different things, and so they've worked and controlled these families. Yeah. He has a familiar spirit. In the Old Testament, God talks about familiar spirits and forbids the people of God to have anything to do with them. Here, he's telling you right here, familiar spirits are familiar with people, and they would pass on information to this preacher. "Well, I know this about so-and-so. She has 20 bucks in her purse," or, you know, just to me, it's like parlor tricks. It is one thing to have a genuine manifestation of the Spirit of God, and if this discerning of spirits is in operation, we can show the spirit behind the operation. On the other hand, like, you know, Paul with the slave girl, it said it troubled him for many days until the Spirit or the Lord spoke to him, "Well, she's got a spirit of divination. Cast it out of her." And he did. On the other hand, without even having the discerning of spirits and manifestation, if we know the Word of God, if we are walking in the Spirit, we will have an inward witness. Something on the inside of us will set off an alarm. Have you ever been around people that you just go, something, ugh. I remember one time I worked in it was at Trinkets and Treasures, and there was this woman that would come in, and every time she'd come in, I mean, it just turned me inside out. There's something wrong, right? And I've known people that I've known for years that there's something wrong. In fact, there's a lady that I've known for many, 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 many years, and the Lord spoke to me here a few months back. I have it written down. I haven't given it to her. Don't know if I ever will. The Lord showed me a lion with a thorn in his paw. A thorn would be like a spirit. It's a hurt or a wound. But to a lion, it's crippling, you know? And that's what he showed me about the situation. Will I ever be able to share it? I don't know. Because I don't really see this person. Maybe years before I see him. All right. Okay. We don't need discerning spirits to know when something is wrong. We ought to know God's word well enough for ourselves. We ought to be led by the inward witness. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We all need to be walking by the Spirit, not just the prophets, not just the apostles, not just the fivefold ministry gifts, but all of us. All right. This verse implies that all the sons of God can be led by the Spirit, but the scriptures certainly don't imply that all the children of God would have the discerning of spirits, because we read, "For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another discerning of spirits." That doesn't say or even imply that everybody would have these gifts, but if it does imply that every believer could be led by the Spirit, we need to distinguish the difference. Some things are revealed to us, and we know some things by the discerning of spirits. Okay? It says the discerning of spirits actually has a more limited range than the other two revelation gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, because its revelation is limited to a single class of objects, that is, spirits. The revelation that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge brings is broader and applies to people, places, and things. The discerning of spirits gives us supernatural insight into the realm of spirits. In other words, it is seen into the spirit world. It also reveals the kind of spirit behind a supernatural manifestation. Okay. Y'all think you got it? All right. How long have I gone? I think that's going to be it for tonight.
42 to 30.
Okay, that's good.